Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live today in downtown Las Vegas. From the Circa Resort Casino, busy three-hour program lined up. Great guests, including Matt Vasgersian on Major League Baseball coming up in 15 minutes. A hell of a weekend to unpack and a good week to look forward to as well. We'll get into, of course, the big trades that happened this weekend in Major League Baseball and the NBA. We'll get into the baseball card that we have. We'll get into Game 5 Stanley Cup, Game 6 Stanley Cup Final, and also Game 5 NBA Finals throughout the entire show today. Our best bets as well. And, Pauly, it felt a little odd yesterday with it being Father's Day and we did not have a game in the NBA, nor do we have a game in the NHL. That's weird. I don't remember the last time that happened. So, really, the one major sporting event we had going on, pro sport anyway, was the U.S. Open, College World Series, amateurs. But I thought, and I tweeted this out a little bit earlier today, and judging by the reaction, it was a polarizing event, and there's no way to be split down the middle. Either people loved the event and loved how difficult it was for the golfers out there at Oakmont around the Pittsburgh area, or people absolutely hated it. Sign me up. I thought it was the best Sunday to a major since Tiger won the Masters in 2019, and this is coming from a guy. The closest bet that I had to cashing was Robert McIntyre at 101. It was close, but I lost all my future bets, and I still thought yesterday was incredible drama.
Yep. What was the negativity? They don't like to see the guy struggle that much?
They thought, well, how you can't control the weather, but they didn't. Yeah. They thought it wasn't even golf out there. They thought that it looked terrible on TV. I don't understand the complaints. It wasn't a loaded leaderboard?
No. I couldn't get enough of yesterday.
It was incredible,
you
man.
Not only do you have a five-way tie, but then you have a ton of guys within one or two shots. The weather's playing a major factor. Are they going to get the round in was another one. Playoff was on the line. In play, you didn't know what to do. Like, who to bet in play?
Just forget about it.
Every hole. And then you had the scenario where in play, I actually took some John Rahm at 150-1 saying, this guy gets in the clubhouse at 4 over. Maybe they all fall back. You never know.
Of course.
Because no one wanted it at that point. And 1 over was your leader until the incredible shot from Spahn. So that final round had everything. And it was appointment viewing as far as I was concerned.
I couldn't get enough of it. Honestly, it was the highlight of the weekend. It was incredible drama, like I've said now a couple of times here. And I don't mind what you did there with John Rahm. And by the way, imagine if Rahm's putter actually showed up a little bit, and the same thing could be said for Scheffler. There was a huge window yesterday of time where Scottie Scheffler, if his putter was also on board pretty much the entire round, what if Scheffler posts even par, which was like not even out of the realm of possibility, or 1 over, and he's in the clubhouse waiting, and people then see that number posted? I think that can screw with guys mentally. And you never know how J.J. Spahn, but credited that guy with what he did to close up shop. He was unbelievable.
That'll never happen again.
What?
The guy bogeys 5 of the first 6 holes and wins? Come on.
He was, did you notice what he was in play? I noticed at Sport Trade, he was at like 4% to win the tournament.
Yep.
I wrote him off, sure. Of course, you could have been grabbing huge numbers, but I didn't. I mean, you also could have gotten buried by just betting on the wrong guys.
So you had McIntyre, but he was 9 shots back yesterday.
Sure. But you could tell he was
60-1 late in the tournament.
I know. He was putting it together, and I was texting my buddy all throughout the entire round. And I'm like, you know, if Bobby Mack, here's another guy, right? If he could somehow post even and then maybe throw the fear of God into some of these other golfers who are like at 1 over at that time, or, you know, in the rain and the conditions were obviously very difficult at that point. That can change people's mentality right there. And I'm like, please get to that number, and now we're talking. And he couldn't quite get there. He almost did and almost made a run for it. But, again, I thought that, and here's the deal. It's very difficult to hedge in that situation, right? Because there's still a possibility.
You could have done a little something, though.
Oh, but here's... but
Hatton and Burns imploded near the same time. That helped you.
But there was also a possibility, and this is when Robert McIntyre is now in the clubhouse at 1 over par. It could have played out, Pauly, to where J.J. Spahn and he was minus 105 at the same time McIntyre was 105 before J.J. Spahn teed off on hole number 17. So what if he posts bogey and then Hovland comes in and there's like a three-way playoff and I get absolutely killed on having the McIntyre ticket and then hedging on J.J. Spahn? Like, that angle existed. And then I also could have laid $3 with J.J. Spahn, but then it was more prevalent. But then, again, the drive on 17 for J.J. Spahn was a carbon copy of what Colin Moore Carrick did at Harding Park a couple years ago to win a major. That drive was unbelievable with what he did. And then he followed it up with a beautiful drive, and that putt on 18 was incredible.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on there. A ton.
Oh, yes.
Adam Scott couldn't even finish top 10. How about that for a beat? Guy's one shot back. Guy's in second place. Can't finish top 10.
Pretty bad.
Now, how about what happened to Sam Burns? That also changed the tournament. Where you think he could win, and he was like minus 120 in that range for a must of the front nine, and then the controversy with Burns. I have his back. He asked twice for a ruling. He was denied.
Mm-hmm.
Standing water. Adam Scott had his back. Said that was unplayable. Here it is. This is the video. This is what he's looking at. He's stepping down. Water comes up. Everywhere he goes, standing. That's not standing water. I was stunned. He couldn't get a drop there, and couldn't get some relief.
I believe it was Scott Van Pelt who tweeted out after this video showed up on at least Twitter. Anyway, SVP was like, "I would have been arrested."
Really?
And other people were saying
yes.
Other people told me that they were then rooting against Burns for asking for the relief multiple times. I'm like, look at the conditions right there.
Now, as Adam Scott explained it, and to his credit, he didn't make any excuses, but you saw Burns was clearly rattled. He was. Paul.
He absolutely was.
You cannot tell me afterwards, well, I was focused with my caddy and we blocked. No, you didn't, because you imploded afterwards. It clearly bothered you.
He was pissed.
But that's okay. But Scott said because it was slanted, that's why there was so much water there, because that part of the course and hole was slanted. And that's why he said it was unplayable, and that's what Burns said, and it went against him, not once but twice.
So
I have his back.
The horrible break with the bad weather coming in, the 40-minute delay, and then that's the, you know, those are the conditions. And people would just say, well, don't hit it there. Well, okay. All right.
Well, don't hit it there.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Make a hole in one. Now, I have Burns back. I think Hatton is just insufferable. I think he's a petulant child.
No, he's not likable at all.
It's everyone's fault but his.
Of course.
It's the club. It's the rough. It's the bunker. It's just, he's losing his mind after every... Did you see how he was acting down the stretch?
Oh, no doubt, Paul.
This guy's unbelievable.
So how about this? The broadcasters, when he actually had a smile on his face, I think it was either to save a par or he birdied one of the shots late yesterday. Couldn't have been too late because he kind of fell apart as well. But the broadcasters kind of laughed and mocked him. Look at that. There's a rare smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually happy because he made a shot and he didn't go pissed off and scorched earth and, you know, blame everybody else but himself.
I don't get it. You're a pro golfer. You made $878,000 and you hate the world.
Yeah. I also, Rory comes out, you know, complaining the entire weekend.
Throwing clubs.
Knock it off, pal. You just won the Masters. Come on. Everybody's up against it here. They're playing the same exact course.
Yeah.
Okay. In the U.S. Open. And by the way, again, another reason why I loved it. We didn't have 10 guys at 15 under this weekend. It was a challenge, man, and that's what more golf courses should be like that, and more events on the PGA Tour on a yearly basis need to be like that.
Well, that's who won. I know Spahn got $4.3 million, but the course won. I mean, he was the only guy who was under par, and, you know, there was that crazy prop our buddy Kelly got in Iowa, under 4.5 golfers to be under par plus money. That was a nice winner, but that was the course one.
And how about the winning score prop, 278.5?
That's right.
It lands 279.
Mm-hmm. Weird weekend. And we're killing Koepka. What happened? Koepka 12th place. I mean, this was right. What happened to Ben Griffin?
Burns outside the top five.
Right. Ben Griffin sneaks in top 10. Scheffler was lousy, 7th place. Ortiz falls apart late, though, tied for 4th.
Mm-hmm.
That round had everything.
Sure it did. So I'm looking ahead to the Open Championship next month.
I like Bob. Bob 28-1, right? Take some Bob.
He's down as low as 20-1.
Get that 28 in DraftKings.
You can't bet Bobby McIntyre at 20-1, Paul.
Like Bob 28-1.
You like him?
Yeah, like Bob. Like his game.
What do you think he was before he finished yesterday?
Yeah.
I got to get that out there. I got to find out from somebody who was staring at the Open Championship odds. He dropped like a rock to win that event. He was probably 50-1 because it is the Open Championship. He won the Scottish last year. He was a popular guy to, you know, come back and win the Open as well last year. Obviously, very familiar, obviously, growing up playing on those kind of golf courses, but you like him 28, yeah. Huh?
You want some Hovland?
I can't bet him.
Can't do it?
I added him 6-1 before the event yesterday. I just, somebody, and again, they said this on the broadcast, boy, don't you think Hovland's due to hit a long one here? I'm like, who thinks that? Nobody on earth after watching this guy, and I love Victor Hovland as a human being. He seems like the nicest guy ever. If you think that he's due or he's about to hit one in a big spot, you haven't been paying attention for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen with him.
You know, another guy who couldn't get out of his own way late was Cam Young. That was sitting right there for Cam Young, too.
I know.
But everyone had an opportunity, but they just, it was like when Tiger won the Masters, and everyone kept hitting in the water.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was great. Riveting television.
I'm looking at some of these other numbers for the Open. Justin Thomas is 33-1. No. I don't think I'd touch him for anything below like 75-1.
Yeah.
No way, no how. Koepka's 40 now.
No, come on.
He was just 100 this past weekend, and he had one good round.
No Morikawa, no Spieth, no, none of it. I don't want any of that.
How about Bryson now drifted out to 20-1 because he missed the cut? Biggest number you've been able to find on him since last year's PGA and then Open, U.S. Open.
I'm coming back with Ben Griffin. Is Ben Griffin is up there? Is he playing? I mean, the guy keeps finishing top 10, top 5.
I see 50-1 on him.
Yeah. He made a run. So he got to 2-under and was one shot back Saturday afternoon.
Up next, the bombshell trade in Major League Baseball, and what can we expect from Shohei Ohtani when he takes the mound tonight? We'll get Matt Baskerjian's thoughts, MLB Network, next here on Follow the Money. It's Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Good to have you on board here on a Monday. A lot to get into here in Major League Baseball with our next guest as the great Matt Baskerjian joins the program from MLB Network, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll get his thoughts on Red Sox, Giants, the huge trade that rocked the world yesterday, the baseball world as Devers goes to the Bay Area in a minute, because I got to start here, Matty, with Shohei Ohtani making his pitching debut tonight against Dylan Cease and the San Diego Padres. And from what I have been reading, the thought is, what, two innings? Do they possibly get three out of him? Do they push him that far? That seems unlikely to me, but he's going to be an opener the way it feels. And sportsbooks are hanging a K-prop on him at 1.5 with some plus money to the over. Where's your head at with that number?
Oh, it's fascinating. Just the fact that they posted that is good for them, by the way, because we usually get mad at, you know, the bad home run numbers they post. But to put that up there is so fascinating. It's all going to be on Shohei. He does what he wants to do. So it's not the Dodgers are going to protect him, and it's the Dodgers' orders that he only goes 4 hitters or 15 pitches. This is all what he wants to do, which is why it's so hard to predict what's going to happen. As far as the K's go, if you just take the first inning into account, and we know what the Padres are going to look like tonight, it's going to be Tatis, Arise, and Machado. That's kind of what they do. Machado is a guy he can strike out. Tatis is a guy he can strike out. In fact, Machado struck out 8 times in 19 plate appearances against him. That's a pretty healthy number. Arise is a tough strikeout. However, Arise is not going good right now. So if he gets beyond the first inning, he'll probably get Gavin Sheets, who he can definitely strike out. Bogarts, he could definitely strike out. Some combination of Iglesias, Cronenworth. I don't know what it would look like after that. I think if he goes 2 innings, he could get to 2. There's an outside chance he could strike out 2, even if he goes an inning. He might walk somebody. He might give up a hit, which would allow a 4th plate appearance. It's probably not something to mess with because there's so many variables. But if someone said you had to advocate for one thing or another, I'd say, yeah, take the plus money on the over 1.5.
Excellent. Very good. Looking forward to it tonight. Good thoughts there. So what'd you think of the big trade? And I understand the frustration with the Red Sox fans. You had the highest payroll in baseball 6 years ago. You trade Mookie. Now you trade Devers. I know the problems. I'm not going to play first base. What do you think of the trade with the Giants and Red Sox and some of the fan base in Boston furious?
Well, I think for the short term, the Giants made a great deal. you know, they got a top 15, top 20 at worst offensive player in the sport. They have been dying for a middle of the lineup presence forever. They were willing to go to $370 million on Judge. That helped get his money up with the Yankees. Remember the fake video that they sent out? Hey, Aaron, what are you doing in San Francisco? And they made it look like it was in a hotel. That was the agent putting garbage out there. He was in like a lobby someplace at a restaurant in New York City. And it resonated. So that, but the Giants were willing to go there. They were willing to go to 270, 280 on Correa, if not higher. So they finally got their guy, and they did it without disrupting the Major League roster very much. Kyle Harrison's been kind of up and down. I think reuniting him with Andrew Bailey is going to be important, the Red Sox pitching coach. They got a first-round pick that nobody knows a whole lot about, and a 20-year-old kid that's from the Dominican that people know even less about, and Jordan Hicks, who's owed a lot of money as a setup guy, which is what he turned into. So the Giants didn't give up a ton. And as much as I think it's a good deal for the Giants in the short term, I would say to Red Sox fans who are going crazy right now, and they are, you have to understand that now the Red Sox are way more flexible financially. The pieces didn't fit together with Bregman and Devers. And Devers was cranky from the moment they signed him. Yep. He wasn't going to play first base when Casas went down. He was pissed about being a DH. He showed up out of shape. He was 0 for his first 21 with 15 strikeouts. The attitude, from what we understand, was not great. And they didn't want Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer and Tristan Campbell getting poisoned by a veteran guy who's supposed to be your star and your bell cow who's making the most money on the roster. If that guy's setting an angry tone in the clubhouse, it could have spoiled those kids' heads. And I think that was part of it, too. So I do not think the Red Sox made a bad deal. They got out from the money completely. They don't have to worry about the end of that contract being bad, which it's going to be. That's just how it goes. And they get a chance to kind of start over again. The guy that's smiling the brightest right now is Alex Bregman, because he's on the IL. He's got an opt-out after this year. Better believe he's going to opt out, and he's going to come back to the Red Sox with a big hat in his hand, and he's going to say, now you feed me, because it's my animal now. Everybody else is gone. Devers was the last guy from the 2018 World Series team, and I don't think it was that bad of a trade for the Red Sox.
The problem I have is, don't you think the team could have gotten a lot more in return for him had they talked to more clubs?
That could be true, Mitch. That's a good point. But if it had gotten out there that they were, quote-unquote, shopping him, I think that all the return packages would have come down. They would have been even worse eventually. They had to keep this off the street, and they did. I mean, this thing fell out of the sky last night, and anybody that claims they were in the know on this is lying, because they did a good job keeping it tight. So it's kind of a mixed bag. You shop, you might be able to cajole some more offers from people, but if everybody knows a player is being shopped, nobody's going to give you premium talent in return.
Okay, fair enough. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Matt Vasgersian from MLB Network. Let me throw a couple of numbers at you here then from the Giants' perspective. 7-1 to win their division, or in that range, people might be able to find a little bit better. Around 12-1 to win the NL. Or how about this? Even money to win 90-plus games. Anything there for you, Matt?
Ooh, boy, that's interesting. I would probably take the best plus money and throw the dart as far as you could. But the Dodgers are really good, man. And we know how good they are. We also know they've got 9 starters on the IL. Otani's going to start tonight and be the 15th starter they've already used. We're not even at July yet, which is insane. You can't even talk about the Dodgers having a starting rotation. They don't have a rotation. They've got a bunch of guys who pitch, and you don't know who's going to go for how long when. Could the Giants run them down? Absolutely they could. Could the Diamondbacks and Padres run them down? Sure. So I'd say winning 90 games is, if they win the division, it's going to be with 90 wins. Maybe those plays are correlated, and I think it's all in play now, and I think it's all really fascinating. Robbie Ray, by the way, is pitching so great that I don't think they're going to miss Harrison much.
Pitching's been awesome, yeah. If you get better, win these one-run games, you're going to be a playoff team, no doubt. Anything you like on the short card, any props? Anything stand out today on the card?
Yeah, there's a lot interesting stuff. The Rays-Orioles game is interesting because it's being played on the moon, Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. You got both of the lunar surfaces are hosting games tonight because the A's are at home in West Sacramento. And Houston just scratched McCullers. So yeah, McCullers had been good. So that makes an over interesting there. But as far as a prop in that Rays Orioles game, a lot of the inside numbers would indicate that Zach Eflin could have a hard time with Jonathan Aranda, who's really good on the breaking ball, and especially breaking balls from right-handed pitchers. And the one thing that Zach Eflin's had the hardest time with is slug on his breaking ball. So you could find a Jonathan Aranda home run prop or even over 1.5 total bases. That's nice. Junior Caminero's hot. He homered in both games over the weekend after going 0 for 17, entering Saturday's play. I think there's going to be runs in that game. Interesting, too, is Jose Soriano facing the Yankees because Stanton's back tonight. Stanton is good for a punch out, if not more, by himself. You're talking about a guy, Soriano, who doesn't strike out many, but he's coming off a 12 strikeout start last time around. I don't know. His number's usually 4.5. I haven't looked at anything. He could be interesting. And on the other side, you know, the Angels are starting their former first rounder, Christian Moore, at second base tonight. And he's 0 for 6 with 3 punch outs to start his career. Clark Schmidt's on the mound for the Yankees. That could be a strikeout game on both sides.
Very good. Matt, you're the best. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us here today. We appreciate the time as always.
Good talking to you guys as always. See ya.
There you go. Good Matt Baskirgin on the Progressive Guest Line from MLB Network.
Yeah. I'm with you. You could have got more, obviously, but interesting about poisoning the young guys.
Yeah, okay, I get that part.
But I understand some Red Sox fans even called this. So you're running like a mom and pop shop now.
I know.
It's in our portfolio now. We're the Fenway Group, and we got to watch and monitor what we do, and it's just let another top player go.
Betts first.
he's an absolute
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And now this? My God.
Tough one to take. You just swept the Yankees. He hits a home run. Get out.
Yeah, I know. And they took 5 out of 6 from the Yankees in the last week.
Yeah.
And then they cap it off with a sweep. So they add Crochet in the offseason. They take their time bringing up all this young talent, and then they're like, nah, get out of here, Devers.
It kind of reeks of the Luka thing.
A little bit.
Where it's, well, when you sign this type of deal, there are responsibilities that go with it. And him not being a team guy and not wanting to play first base, and they just said, okay, that's it. Giants are going to pick up the tab.
And then he evidently told the Giants, I'm willing to play wherever you want me. All right, Game 5 NBA Finals up next. Props on the board, and we'll react to the insane trade yesterday in that sport and give you next team odds for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Update from Omaha, College World Series. Arkansas and Murray State going to the bottom of the ninth. Arkansas with a 3-0 lead. And Gage Wood is going back on the bump for the Razorbacks right now. Paulie, here's why. He has 16 strikeouts in the game. The College World Series is 17, set by Ty Floyd, LSU, back in 2023. He had a perfect game going.
Yeah, he hit a guy with a breaking ball. I don't know if there were 2 strikes, but hit him right in the foot. Total fluke.
So still with a no-hitter. And he's on those 16 Ks, and they were a monster favorite against the Racers, obviously, here, as Arkansas, one of the favorites, along with LSU before this tournament started. You and I just got back there, of course, late Saturday night. We were in Omaha for a few days, and it was great. That stadium's awesome. And you can see, you know, after you're there in person and people are making the case for unders, like for a lot of these games, here comes another one that, you know, as long as they hang on here, it's a huge ballpark, and you're not getting home runs at all.
Right. Bet those no props at Circa. 105 pitches. It'd be the third no-hitter in the history of the College World Series. See if he can finish it off, get the strikeout record, and get the no-no. 3-0 Arkansas, bottom of the ninth. And I'll tell you, pretty good fight, though. This is a 1-0 game in the seventh inning.
The starter for Murray State was also fantastic.
And
they
hung in there and covered the run line against UCLA after they fell behind 6-0. So they're also second in the Jello Shot Challenge, which is incredible.
Well, I think at this point it's safe to say that Murray State clearly belonged here in the field, right?
Yeah.
I mean, fluke getting here and the teams that they beat, but again, they were not embarrassed at all. They did not do a terrible job representing that university. They had to come from behind to make it close against UCLA. I get that, but they're not getting pounded in these games for the most part. Today, another good example. I mean, they're not hitting, but the Razorbacks don't have 20 runs in this game.
Yeah. And a lot of this is just rare back, throw it, and you can't touch my fastball based on what I've watched here today. So see what he does in the ninth. But yeah, good showing, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, so on the game for tonight, Pacers playing in OKC against the Thunder. It shifts back there for game number 5. And at most books, you're looking at Oklahoma City laying 9.5. DK's actually at 9. They're offshore, too. You're seeing a 9. But the total is 224.5 or 225. We have a guest later on in the show who is very strong on Indiana tonight.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I read the write-up. It was a good job by Mr. Cohen. I just think these have been close games. Other than game 2, your comeback or counter could be that Indiana blew their chance. Up 10 late in the third quarter and up 7 to start the fourth. You go up 3-1. What, the last 37 finals, it's only happened once. Team to come back 3-1. So maybe there's a little bit of that, but I just think these teams are pretty close. And the Pacers can do a better job with their adjustments. I know Saturday we talked about in Omaha what Dagnow did, and to run some action and some screens and get movement and get Nebhard off SGA, and he torched Neesmith and how that went. But, you know, the whistle went against Indiana late, and I just think this is too many points here, and I think Indiana's going to put up a fight. I could be wrong. Maybe they blow them out. But I don't think that Indiana and Carlisle are going to be, oh, woe is me, we blew it. We're up 7. Now what do we do? It's right there for you. It's 2-2. It's the NBA Finals. You're right there. You're big underdogs here tonight, but you already won once, and you've been road warriors, and you've been the cardiac kids, and they've always bounced back after a loss in these playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think they can hang in this one.
And for people who believe in the zigzag theory, hey, look, it got there on Friday night again, right? So after game 1, if you're betting the team that lost ATS, you are now 3-0 in the series. And don't ask me how it got there. I'm still baffled that we lost that bet on the Pacers plus 6 the other night, but they couldn't cover, and the Thunder did. So based on that, for people betting the zigzag theory, you would think they're going to be on the Pacers tonight at plus 9.5 and expecting a close game. The total, 225. Now, the game 1 opener did touch, well, like 231.5,
yeah.
And we have seen some unders here. Are we suddenly going to get a game that goes to the moon? I mean, it's trending under big time here in this series.
Yep.
And that's typical for an NBA 7-game NBA Finals.
Yep. I don't mind Halliburton props. I would take Turner props under. He was 0-6 from 3 in the last game. I come right back with Chet made 3s under. He's made 1 combined in the last 3 games. But these other guys, I don't know. You're like, in terms of other props and 3s and that kind of thing, Siakam, Nebhard, Neesmith. That one's tough. I'd go Turner under. I think Toppin can have a big game again. Why not come back with Toppin? I would give him more run. And I think a guy maybe Toppin can come in again, give you 15 points off the bench.
Would you look at
and
maybe
play a key role?
Points and rebounds with him?
Yeah, he's not. That's one guy I would look at. Yeah, and he's 12-1 tonight to have the most 3s. Look, OKC made 3 as a team in the last game.
Still won the game. They had 10 assists.
Yep.
Still won the game. Covered the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't know how, but SGA, by the way, his points prop just moved to 33.5 at DraftKings. 34.5 at most other spots. ESPN Bet also has 33.5. So his points prop is taking under money in this game tonight. I don't know if I agree with that one. He had 20 points on the road in game 4, and he scored 15 points down the stretch to finish with 35 in that game.
Because
if it's a close game, they're going to get, like, he's going to be the guy. He might not bring the ball up. That hasn't been a thing here in this series because they're trying to save his legs and having Indiana pressure him, operating as like the point guard so much. But he's going to be the guy with the ball in his hands for sure. Because how many other guys do you trust in a big moment here for the Oklahoma City Thunder? How many like closers do they have? Williams has had good moments here.
Right. I love when he attacks and gets to the basket. He's a good finisher.
And I still think Caruso's who's having an awesome series.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that might be the list overall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't know, man. Maybe these other books are going to move to 33.5 as well. You never want to go, follow the money for a reason, right?
Well, and then the other one, too, I think, is our guy Shepard. 2.5 again. He's gone over that every game. We just need 1-3 out of Ben Shepard or 3 points. He gets enough minutes.
Yeah, and he'll probably get an open 3 at least tonight, right? At least one of them.
Yep.
What'd you make of that trade yesterday?
Incredible.
Orlando Magic.
While the finals are going on?
Yeah, Memphis Grizzlies on this deal.
Calm down with how we define blockbuster. You can't call it a blockbuster when no one in the trade's an all-star.
Well, no, it's 4 picks, though.
Yeah.
So that's a huge trade. And the takeaway was, you know, not all trades are created equal. And Desmond Bane goes to Orlando, which, by the way, that's the kind of guy that Orlando absolutely has to have in their back pocket.
No doubt. 40% from three, awesome with catching threes. They were horrendous as a team from three, and you saw how that came to bite them where they had no one who could shoot in the Boston series. This is a huge get.
But four first-round picks? And then I know that people are saying, well, Orlando's probably going to be good. What if they're not? It's not a lock they're going to be good. And then also, even if they are good, have we not been paying attention for the last 15 years or more? You can get, like, awesome. Now, do I trust every team to do this? No. But, Paul, the NBA draft does not lie.
Mm-hmm.
You can find really good, impactful players for, like, many years, picked outside the top five, this just in, not lottery picks, late first-rounders or second-round picks, that can have, you know, incredible runs with the team that either drafts them or they sign with, even if they're not drafted. So the whole takeaway is, yeah, it's not that big of a deal because those picks aren't going to be that great anyway. Okay, all right. And then because they got four picks for Desmond Bane, people are saying just because that's the case doesn't mean Giannis is going to get 12 picks. Every team is going to be different with what they have, first of all, and what they're willing to give up for a player.
Well, the other thing is I love the trade. He just tied the record, 17 strikeouts, one out in the ninth. You have the GM of Memphis members saying, we are not close. We got swept. I don't care what Ja says. We are not close. We didn't beat a team in the West with a winning record since January. So he makes this trade. Now they're going to sign Jackson. But they also get off that contract. I mean, Bane was making a ton of money. But I think this is a good get for Orlando. And maybe the picks. There's one pick in there that's a Phoenix pick, which could be huge.
Right.
Because Phoenix is going to be could be awful now. You move Durant. So...
It's
intriguing, and I the timing's awesome, too, while the finals is going on and right before the draft.
Memphis should not be done. They should blow up the entire thing.
I would do that. I would do that, too, but
100%
they're not going
I would.
To. I would. Absolutely.
I'd trade Ja. I'd trade Jaren Jackson for sure. Lakers are 3-1, by the way. Jaren Jackson's next team, Lakers 3-1.
Yeah.
He'd be awesome there, but what are they going to do?
Just set the record. 18 strikeouts.
Huh?
Two outs in the ninth. One out away from a no-hitter. This is incredible. Two outs.
He might have a 19K no-hitter.
Wow, yeah, and strike. I got 18. I got 18 strikeouts. You must be behind. I'm ahead on the internet feed.
Good Lord.
I have 18 strikeouts, two outs in the ninth to hit someone again. So two outs, two hit batters. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight where the sharp action's landing. Circa takes huge bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get the betting splits as little as $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Jump in now. Be part of the team. And he did it.
That's all she wrote, boys. There's your no-hitter. And he struck out the final
batter. Struck out the side?
So is that 19 then?
That's 19 strikeouts.
Oh, my God.
He struck out the side. Oh, my God.
Wow. By the way, the place is packed.
Yeah.
It looked like 20,000 Razorback fans on hand today.
Ooh, Pig Suey.
Wow, what a
performance.
Right
to Rocco's. That's an all-timer.
He should rip his jersey off right now.
That is an all-time performance.
And walk around downtown Omaha, does whatever he wants. Win some, lose some, coming up next.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Spawn 150-1 down the street at the Westgate, 125-1. DraftKings and ESPN bet. Biggest pre-odds U.S. Open since Glover won in 2009. Incredible. Five bogeys, first six holes on Sunday. Still wins.
Hey, did you see that? So in the rain delay yesterday, when they were replaying Tiger's win in 2008?
Yes.
Rocco Mediate was ranked 158th in the world. I reached out to Jeff Sherman at the Westgate, who has been, he's been making odds since like 2000, I believe.
Okay.
But only documented or kept all the odds since 2008 that year. Because of Tiger's dominance, he was 2-1 to win it that year. He did not even offer every golfer in the tournament. Rocco Mediate was part of the field at 7-1.
Wow.
That's how good Tiger was.
Yep.
But imagine if that wasn't the case, Mediate would have been 1,000-1.
Probably. In that finish, he has to make that putt on 18 to go to the playoff. Jeff Seely did it again. Carlos Ortiz topped the rest of the world prop, 20-1. That gets there. Game 5, Stanley Cup. 11 of the last 12 between Florida and Edmonton have gone over with a vicious beat Saturday. 2-0 in the third, 5 goals in the third period. First period over, 5-0. Ekholm blocks over, 12-1 run. First goal of the game, Marchand, 17-1. 2 goals, 26-1. Bennett to score, plus 210. He scored every game on the road in this series. Fifth player to score 6 straight on the road. Perry anytime, 3-1. Exact score, 23-1. Florida empty net goal, plus 375. Florida minus 2.5 goals, 4-1. Their team total over 4.5, plus 320. Lustarainen, last goal, 32-1. Anytime goal, plus 550. Rockies, second biggest dog of the season in MLB, plus 285. Well, Holmes really wasted that effort. 15 strikeouts. They lose the game. Couldn't hit. And also win some. Thanks to Matt, we met you at the Horseshoe. Barback, bartender there. He told us the story, and also our friend Kelly told this story in Omaha. Win some. The Spearmint Rhino in Omaha. So Kelly always would drive by and wonder why there are so many cars in the Spearmint Rhino parking lot at like 10, 11 in the morning on a Sunday. He said Carter Lake, which we drove by, Carter Lake, there was a flood. The river channel changed. You can bet and it will go through and accept it in the Spearmint Rhino parking lot in Omaha, right by the airport.
And when that happened, Nebraska said, we don't want that. Iowa, you can have that part.
Yeah.
That's all Iowa. Go ahead. So that's where they made it. And he would drive to work and drive around. He's like, they're not even open. Why do I see 30 cars here right now?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Makes sense.
How about that? What a story that is. Just go there. Yo, that goes through. Yeah, sure. Piece of cake. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send it in. We'll put you on. There it is. We got off the air Saturday, and we went to an LSU tailgate. There's your seafood gumbo in the cauldron, stirring that. Look at the size of that pot. What a setup where they come in with the trailer, and then they open it up, and then it's all food and speakers and TVs. You got the game on. They're getting ready for the pregame. They do not mess around. They are total pros at LSU. And then they're just driving that Tiger around. The guy just kept doing a block, Born on the Bayou's cranked. And he's driving around with the trailer with that Tiger on the back.
By the way, that is legitimately an oar that they are using to stir the gumbo.
Yes. Look at that. Hey, what do you got there, buddy? Gumbo? Seafood gumbo, he said. And the guy's got his Venmo sign. You know, hey, you want to chip in? I got all this. This is awesome. There it is, LSU. How about this? How about my son, Jordan? Look at this. See, that's the couch. Okay. There's the couch. You go behind the couch. It's just a little room between the wall and a couch, and that's him. He lays back there. That's his spot. Isn't that weird?
They like to snuggle.
Right? He goes back there all the time. It's my dog, Jordan.
You should have been a photographer.
That's tough with the lighting. What am I going to do? But that's you can make it out, though, behind the couch. All right. A lot of insanity with the jackpots. Mohegan Sun, $100,000. Royale with cheese, playing deuces. No deuce. Who needs it? Gets dealt 2. Bam! Gets 3 of them. $100,000. And this is at the Orleans down the street.
Oh, my Lord. Look at that stack.
$450,000. No joker. The straight flush. Pigou Progressive. No joker. 7-card straight flush. $6 bet. Almost $500,000. And I played here many times. This is at the Palms. First ever visitor to the Palms. Same thing. $897,000 for a $5 bet. The Progressive also hit at the Palms. No joker again. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack? Is that what it looks like?
First time they ever visited the
That's
Palms.
That's right. Yeah, sit down. Okay,
I'd buy,
here you
buy
go.
A place there.
Yeah, $900,000. Yeah, not bad. Lose some, Rockies, worst 70-game start since 1899. And lose some, the Omaha Airport. It's not bad. But in terms of setup, though, 2 flights go out at night? You either got the 10 a.m. or the 8 o'clock? What kind of opera?
You're talking about back here to Vegas.
Yeah, back to Vegas. It's kind of a destination spot. You only get two flights out from Omaha to get back to Las Vegas.
I will say the beauty of it, only three flights are leaving like around 8 o'clock on Saturday night
yes.
in that one terminal.
Yes.
There's like nobody there.
That was something.
Oh,
it
so
took
easy.
5 minutes to get in through security.
That was it.
You could sit right up, belly up, right at the bar, watch the game.
Oh.
And that's what? United, Southwest, and something else.
Yeah.
You got that
Allegiant, I believe.
Yeah, awesome. Yep. Bad beats. Game five under. 2-0 in the third. Goes over. Sam Burns, top five. Finished seventh. Adam Scott, top 10. Finished 12th. Before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar books or full-time pro bettors on your own. But with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources. The sharp plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. He's fantastic, awesome on the air. Last week, free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights delivered right to you via email or X. He's been doing this since 2011. Receipts, logs, and results right there on the site. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now, sharpplays.com.
Okay, so here is the official stat line of Gage Wood. If you're just tuning in right now, College World Series game just finished about 6-7 minutes ago. He started today for Arkansas against Murray State. Double elimination here. Had to have this game to keep playing. Murray State's been eliminated. That's because Arkansas and Gage Wood beat them by a score of 3-0. They were huge favorites. Was the run line 2.5?
I think 2.5 or 3.5.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Was it
3.5?
It was 3.5. Then Murray State covered again then. Okay.
Wow.
But Gage Wood threw the first no-hitter in the College World Series since 1960.
Really?
And he did it with 19 strikeouts. Third ever no-hitter in Omaha. And the 19 strikeouts is an all-time record. He threw 119 pitches, 83 for strikes. And like on pitch number 118 or 119, a clock like at 98 miles an hour. Just pure gas. And that looks, I mean, 9 innings pitched. No hits, no runs, 19 Ks, no walks.
I don't think they got the ball out of the infield, if my numbers are right, if
right.
I'm looking at it right.
And the reason why it wasn't a perfect game is because he hit a batter in the eighth inning. And some are saying, I did not see that. I'll tell you what social media is telling us. Some are saying that the kid like fell down, I guess, to make it look like he was sitting. Maybe he wasn't. So, but they advance, and wow. That's one for the books, obviously.
All-timer.
That's
all
it
all
sure
timer.
Is.
Only the third no-hitter, and he breaks the strikeout record.
They're using Kerry
Wood
bats.
Game. Yeah, almost had a Kerry Wood game. Oh, man. They said they pretty much did have a Kerry Wood game.
Yeah?
But Kerry Wood, that should have been an error on Kevin Orey, I thought, as I was watching the game. One hitter and then the 20 strikeouts. This guy was sensational.
Yep.
So what a good to beat Kevin at Rocco's. He gets all the LSU fans there before the game, getting ready to go tailgating pregame, and now the Arkansas fans will come in and celebrate.
Sure.
He can't, sprint money.
And you got to be feeling better than ever as an Arkansas fan to go over there.
Got to celebrate. You just saw history.
No doubt. Yeah, that LSU game starts at 7 o'clock Eastern tonight, 4 o'clock out here on the West Coast.
They're laying 2.5 runs.
2.5 runs against UCLA, and they're 340 on the money line. By the way, that totals 9.5 as well. The unders keep flowing in here in Omaha. Oh, that's insane, man. That is absolutely insane for him to put that up on that kind of a stage.
It's also refreshing. Here it is. Hit it. Good luck.
Sure.
I'm throwing gas. See what you can do with it.
Yep.
And they couldn't touch him.
No gadget pitches.
Still a 1-0 game in the seventh inning, though.
Oh. There's
a ton of drama and juice.
Well, the starter for Murray State, 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 run. That was it. I think he had 6-7 Ks as well. He was very good, but that's, my God, that's history right there, folks. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we have a betting market where odds are changing drastically after every game, and one proud franchise should blow it up. Not the Red Sox. Do you concur? Next.